The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Yeah.
Okay. This is new Hank Williams Jr. called Rich White Honky Blues.
There was some, I don't know, a congressman or something just got ripped up because it was like after Biden's speech. He's like, "Well, America's terrible. I'm gonna go listen to the blues where somebody doesn't care about race." And somebody's like, "Motherfucker, where do you think the blues came from?"
Like, lit him up. Doesn't care about race. Oh, yeah, this is the title cut from his latest.
Not an offensive song, though, yeah. Sonically speaking.
Yeah, no. I like this one. This one's called Firemen Ring the Bell. And I think it's about a fireman fucking his old lady. And then there's a breakdown here in a second where he yells, "I'm going to get you a chastity belt, whatever the fuck that is." And my only problem with this album, other than some of the titles, he's affecting the old bluesman accent, which seems a little problematic from an old white guy. Let's see, where's the part I like? Chastity belt.
Oh, I got something I want to talk about then.
Here we go.
I mean, if...
I don't know where it went.
If you're going to go, I mean...
But yeah, this is... Firemen Ring the Bell. We already heard Rich White Honky Blues. The Short-Haired Woman, of course, is, "I don't want no woman whose hair is shorter than mine." He's talking about lesbians.
Well, that's a personal preference. Uh-huh. Well, I don't think they want him. So.
Yeah, I don't think that's
not
a problem.
Not a problem. Hank Jr.
Bo Cephas. Hank Jr.
I got a question for you, Dave. All right. Affectations and taking accents and what have you. Mm-hmm. I assume we're up and running.
We're up and running,
buddy. Think you're going to get me on that?
No.
I know what you're doing.
Okay. A chastity belt. We're going to get a chastity belt so you stop fucking the fireman.
Well, also, you won't be able to have sex with her either.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he's got the key.
Bo Cephas. Mm-hmm. Let me unlock your pussy.
That was the first draft. Working title.
That's what I call my pickup lines. Go out tonight, unlock some pussy. Oh my like God. It's a new level of a video game. Got a D&D roll of dice. 8 set of die, unlock that pussy.
What about the affectation? Well,
okay. For comedy, if you do an accent, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. If you do an accent that's an ethnic group that's not your own, I guess.
Yeah. Which, and furthermore so, like, people can lay off the Southern accent as being that, being a less intellectual accent. You know?
True.
It's kind of tired and played, you know.
Absolutely.
Audiobooks. Mm-hmm. Somebody, a narrator reading an audiobook with characters in it.
Oh, I never thought of that. Have you heard that? Have somebody...
We were listening on the way down here. It was called The Overstory, and it's like vignettes. It's different characters that it all relates. It's about like trees or something. You know, Rachel's into plants and trees like that. So it's something about that. It all relates back to like trees or nature. Somehow these stories will eventually overlap.
Uh-huh.
One of the characters was deaf.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't a funny chapter. But I listened to this narrator.
Narrator did a deaf voice?
Full Simple Jack.
Really?
And I was like, what's the rules on this? Yeah. And I'm reading reviews. I think it was like Chicago Tribune Books. It's like, narrator does an excellent job encapsulating like an Asian man who learned English with a British accent and a deaf woman who became a professor. I was like, I feel like maybe the first few introductions, like, oh, I get it. Let my imagination do the rest.
Yeah.
because it's not comedy, it's still somebody who's not deaf or Asian or anything doing accents for an audiobook. Hmm. Is that problematic? Because it sounded problematic. It sounded. We both had to just stop it and be like, all right, we're not emotionally, we're not in a maturity space to listen to this chapter right now.
Well, yeah, I have no idea.
I'm just curious if that's been discussed in the world.
I mean, I think we've argued early on in this podcast about if I'm telling a story and there's another character involved, if I'm just simply trying to accurately replicate how they spoke, you know, am I a jerk for telling a story about how I had an interaction with an old Japanese man?
And that's what I mean. If you're not doing the accent as part of the comedy, like not to make fun of them, but to represent somebody in this era of like whitewashing movies and like, oh, this book was written with, this was an Asian character and that's a white actor playing them, or it's a gay character and it's a straight actor playing gay or what have you. Where does that go into the world of audiobooks? I'm curious.
That's a great question.
I'm curious. If anybody's got an opinion out there, I'd like to hear it.
Reminds me of a Seinfeld episode where George had to read a whole textbook for his job, something about risk management, and he bumps into a blind guy on the bus, and the blind guy's listening to like a book on tape, and he's like, oh, you can get any book on tape. And so George finally tracks down that textbook that he's supposed to read, and the narrator's voice sounded just like his own. He's like, I can't listen to this. I have this voice. I don't want to hear this voice.
Yeah, this narrator just...
Wow.
Once the deaf accent kicked in, I was like... I don't even know if you call that an accent. It's not like there's a region.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are my earliest jokes. I met this girl. She's like French or deaf or something.
French or deaf or something. I was watching a movie the other day. I forgot what it was, but there was stand-up involved, and they had an interpreter, sign language lady, on the side of the stage.
Interpreter.
But she was doing sign language. But then when the comic spoke to her, she spoke like a deaf person. But you're not deaf, or else you wouldn't be able to hear.
I mean, they could read lips.
But she was facing,
That is one of the, every time you see like a sign language interpreter or a stand-up show, I always feel bad for them. Like, you know, I hope they get hazard pay for that, because then every comedian's like, I'm going to make them do a thing in sign language. Like, Christ. All right, then.
Have you ever had any sign language interpreters?
Yeah, I was at the Improv one time, and I had them there, and... There's always the clips of them like at like metal concerts, and they're like into the metal, but interpreting the lyrics, like signing the lyrics.
Yeah.
That's what there's American Sign Language and different types of sign language. So I always thought, what an opportunity to have a universal language.
That's true.
And the fact that there's different types of sign language. Like, well, no, this is the one thing that you can like level, like universalize.
With comedy, too, like, if the deaf person isn't laughing, is it because the interpreter? Like, because there's so much nuance and timing involved with stand-up, how do I know that they're translating it properly?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Like, no, it's...
I doubt puns work.
Yeah. And inflection and timing and subtlety. Oh, it's got to be tough.
It's a whole world. It's a whole world out there.
Yeah.
This is the Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave. Sorry we missed you last week.
Yeah, that's on me. Sorry about
Dave
that.
Dave fucked it up. Blame Kyle.
It's a fun one, too. But, yeah.
When we got into it, we took Hank Jr. to task. Had to really figure things out. Hank 3, Crust Punk cosplay.
Well, I was talking about, I had one of the best airport experiences I've ever had last week when I flew home from Cincinnati. Long story short, two flights, you know, I had one layover. Both fights had the whole aisle to myself.
Yeah.
It's always a score. And I got there early. It's a long story short. I had a 5 o'clock flight. I got a late checkout. The latest they could give me at the hotel was 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. So I checked out at 2 p.m. Went over to the hotel, airport. Had 3 hours to kill. First thing I walk in, there's a fucking Outback Steakhouse in the airport. Never seen one. Never seen one in the airport.
What airport are we flying out of
Cincinnati.
Right now? All right.
And just sat there for 3 hours. Got me a nice ribeye. And had about 5 tequila sodas.
Mm-hmm.
Just feeling right, buddy.
Yeah, you had a good stretch. You got a good stretch on the road. Good shows. Treat yourself with a little meal. Like, there can be good meals to be had at an airport. Mm-hmm. It can happen.
Yeah.
Didn't you also see Junior Soprano on your flight?
Junior
Soprano.
I forgot
about that last week. You texted me like, I can avenge AJ's death. Junior's on my flight. I'm like, do what he couldn't, Dave.
That's right. Yeah, he tried to kill Tony. So now I'm going to try to kill you all.
From Cincinnati?
Yeah. I don't know what he was doing in Cincinnati.
Is that guy now?
This was actually, my layover was in Dallas. So this was the second flight. So he... Dallas.
How old do you think that guy is?
I think I looked it up. I think he's 91, 93, something like that. Dominique Chinese or something like that. Yeah. Sitting right there in first class.
Moving smooth,
yeah.
Still got it, 91?
Yeah. Yeah, he looked like he was doing okay.
All right.
But yeah, I start to do that now that I've been living in L.A. for a decade. I'm leaving or going back to L.A., like when I board the plane, I always take a quick peek at those first class aisles, see if there's anybody in there.
You'll catch some wild ones in there. You'll catch some fun ones.
Who's the most famous person you've ever seen on your flight?
I usually don't look to – I think the ones I've noticed – Lisa Rinna.
Okay.
Just because it was one of those, like, that's a face.
That is, Katie's all about the Real Housewives.
I was just walking by. She's at a roommate. We recorded live from Dave Stone Studios.
Yeah, we're in person finally.
Dave Stone Studios in West Hollywood.
She's rough.
Do you have a name for this room? Do you have a name for the studio now?
Not yet. I need to figure something out.
Desi Lou?
Mm-hmm.
Stoneberg Studio, pretty
Stoneberg
much.
Stoneberg Studio, from, yeah.
Stonebridge Productions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she looks like I'm not going to say it looks. It looks otherworldly. And I'm not trying to be negative, but it's like
it's awful
when somebody does like a lowrider thing to a car. Like, that's incredibly impractical. But wow, you really did a lot of stuff there.
She looks rough. It's rough.
Yeah, she looks.
I don't get it.
I think it's just psychological, like. Yeah, you go to a guy to get your beard trimmed, or you do it yourself?
Do it myself.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But is it meticulous? Like, oh, this side's a little bit longer than the other
side. I try to pay attention to it.
Now imagine like somebody else does it, though. I won't let somebody else do it because I know I could take my time and do it. Because I know also if I went and got my beard trimmed by a person, and I, even though it looks even to them, I'd be like, well, I know this is longer. Mm-hmm. Even though the way it lays isn't, it's not. Mm-hmm. I think that happens with plastic surgery. I think you get a little bit, and you're like, if I do a little bit more, if I do a little bit more over here, and do a little, and then you just look like a balloon art. You know?
Man, have you seen, there was these two twin brothers that were like multimillionaires, even billionaires, that died a few months ago.
Yeah, it's like a mental illness, you know? Body dysmorphia. And
you look like a cartoon character. What are you doing?
Yeah. I think it's just body dysmorphia. But this is my excuse for it. People get a bunch of tattoos because they think that makes them look good. Mm-hmm. And other people are like, that's disgusting. Like, yeah, but I like the way I look. Mm-hmm. And so if that's plastic surgery, that if you feel like you look better, you're not doing it for somebody else, you're doing it for you.
Yeah.
You know, hey, give it a rip.
Yeah, it's a good point. But yeah, had a blast. Had a blast in the airport. I'm a simple man.
Good.
3 hours at Outback.
I love an airport drunk.
Yeah. Well, all right, so you got 3 hours to kill at an airport. Let's pretend this is a fictional airport where any restaurant or bar that you've actually seen in an airport, where are you going? Mm. You got the lay of the land, 3 hours. Are you – and also, what are you drinking?
I used to – I mean, it doesn't even have to be fictional. When I was still eating hot dogs – I mean, Chicago's got hot dog spots, so you could just get you still get a couple good Chicago dogs – and then you could sit in whichever one, either Midway or O'Hare, still has like Berghoff's or whichever version of a bar, like the actual bars in the city.
Okay.
I want to sit in a place. I've said it before. I like when people are having fun. I like listening to people that are about to go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And people are excited. You know, I like listening to that. I like, I'll tell you this one. Sammy Hagar's
Cabo Wabo. What is it?
It's Sammy's got a, yeah, Cabo Wabo mm-hmm. in, I think it's the Maui airport. So it's Hawaii. All right. That's kind of a cheap thing to pick. It's pretty good food.
Really?
You can get a Wabarita. And it's sad because you're leaving Maui, but so you get your last little bit. It's not authentic, obviously, of course.
They got a Red Rooster chicken sandwich.
They might have Red Rock. Yeah, they might have a Red Rocker. And it's like, you know what it is? It's like Jimmy Buffett is your right-wing Republican uncle that thinks he's cool. And Sammy is a dude that, like, it's your mom's brother that your dad is like, don't hang out with him too much. He's going to try and give you weed. And you're like, hell yeah, Sammy's cool. And I think that's the difference between those. And that's like, oh yeah, Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo, okay. Cabo Cantina.
Okay.
Because the food's been good. It's like, it's Maui Airport. It's you're bummed out because you're leaving.
Yeah.
A paradise, but then everybody else is, and it's kind of just, but then you do get those wild island people that are just like, yeah, I gotta go back to the mainland, it's gonna suck. And you get to hear about their life, like, what's it like living here? And they're like, it's the best. And so I like that vibe. Chicago airport's always pretty good just because I got memories of having been there. I mean, it doesn't look like anything. It's got a real Lisa Rinna vibe over at O'Hare these days. Unrecognizable from what I knew back when. Midway is much more the working class of like, you got to get somewhere, you got to get here, you go to Midway.
Okay.
I wish Burbank Airport had a better bar.
Yeah.
It's such a chill, small airport.
That's what I flew in and out of on this last one. And it's such a treat, though. Such a treat not to have to go to LAX.
Yeah.
Did I tell you this? So I had my ribeye at Outback, and I brought it out. Beautiful. And
Did you get a sauce?
No.
All right. I'm just saying. I don't know.
What's the matter with you?
I mean, if it comes with one.
No, I don't do sauce on a steak.
Not an A1?
No. A1 tastes like
bathroom cleaner. Yeah, that's right. You don't like that.
Yeah, but A1 and 57 got like weird. There's something in there that just.
I forgot. We've had this like discussion.
Bathroom cleaner. Yeah, that's all right. It's not your fault. I don't mean to yell at you.
That's all right.
But they wouldn't give me a steak knife. I was like, can I get it? And he was like, oh, sorry, man. We're not allowed to have knives past security in the airport. I was like, oh, shit. Never thought of that. And that's never come up. I guess I've never.
Just like, we like to see you eat it with your hands. And you're like, finally. I've been waiting for permission to eat a steak like this. And I just knew it wasn't decent. But now you're telling me in the airport.
Yeah. So I sat there and ate a nice 16-ounce ribeye with a butter knife.
Just go in there like the Revenant. Just chew that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That could probably made you appreciate it more. Took a little harder to get a bite off of it.
Yeah. Cutting it up with a butter knife.
I always like to eat with smaller cutlery.
Okay.
Makes it feel like it's a bigger portion. We went to
I do that with ice cream. I eat ice cream with baby spoons.
Yeah, you get a little spoon. Mm-hmm. It makes it feel like you got more ice cream.
Yep.
I'll trick myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done studies. I've done research. I've done a little research.
Dave's got charts and graphs.
Back when I was doing that stupid that documentary I did years ago where I lost 60 pounds in 3 months and gained it all back immediately. But I met with some nutritionist who gave me all these like psychological tips.
Yeah.
And they're talking about eating on small plates.
Yeah, because it looks like you got more food.
Looks like you got more food. Same amount of food, but on a small plate, you feel like you got more and you're full.
Which, why then at the fancier restaurants, they give you a giant plate with a little bit of food?
I think it's presentation.
Because I don't feel like I'm getting ripped off.
Yeah.
We went to a mess hall just over in Los Feliz here the other day. But we got the big old seafood starter, a big old platter for the table, like shrimp, oysters, and everything.
Uh-huh.
But it comes with little forks just to get the like little three-pronged little tiny tridents to get the oysters out of there.
Ooh.
But I was just eating other stuff with them.
Uh-huh.
Felt like a king. felt like a giant.
That is fun.
Yeah,
that's fun to do.
Yeah, we'll try some of this mac and cheese with this little tiny crab fork. Let me get out there.
Sometimes I'll pour beer into a juice glass and pretend I'm Andre the Giant. That's fun.
I like to drink. I don't drink wine often. I always like it in the juice glasses. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Forgive my phrasing. I always called them Dago glasses.
Dago glasses.
Yeah.
Why is that?
And it was like always like you see people drinking wine on the street and like it was like a wine glass is the most impractical. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, here's this Fabergé egg.
Yeah.
To drink out of. Mm-hmm. Here's the most breakable, precious thing. Like, I can't even enjoy drinking wine if when I put it down, I feel like I'm setting down like the nuclear football.
Yeah. It's too dainty.
Yeah. Give it to me in juice class. Mm-hmm. I'm getting drunk. Oh, cool. Here's glass that there's a disaster.
Yeah.
Every time I would try to put them in a washing machine, and I'm like, what am I? Am I spiking them into the washing machine? Like,
dishwasher?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Dishwasher. Yeah,
it'd be weird traditional washing machine.
They keep breaking every time I put them in with my socks and underpants. I can't believe it. My genitals are all sliced up. I keep, but the wine glass is in the douche. Washing machine.
Oh, man. So you're in town for a little while. You went to a wedding yesterday.
Old Ian Carmel and his missus.
How was that?
Fun. Jewish wedding. Never been to one.
Me neither.
I just like any wedding, like Catholic weddings where it's still like I've been to funerals that are more fun than Catholic weddings.
Really?
Why shouldn't it be a celebration? Here's the religious part. You know nobody gives a shit. We'll say the things we want to say. Beautiful vows. He's a comedian. She's a writer. They know what they're doing up there.
Why are Catholic weddings so bleak?
Because they drag you through all the other Catholic bullshit. It's like, oh, we got you in church. We should definitely remind you that Jesus died for your sins and all the other crap that comes along with Catholicism. Whereas every other wedding is like, do you? Great. Let's party.
Yeah. I've been to a Catholic funeral, and when I was a kid, and I remember being like, whoa, that was my first exposure to anything Catholicism.
There's absolutely nothing joyous about Catholicism as a branch of Christianity. It's not, if it was fire and brimstone, at least like, holy shit, this guy's sweating and screaming. Yeah,
there's some theatrics involved.
These other fucking morons are holding snakes. All right. Like, at least there's a show, you know? Catholicism is just grim and boring.
Yeah.
Here's some incense that smells weird. And it's just a drag. It's a fucking drag. Like, what more? This is the sacrifice. Fucking, I get it. You died for our sins. We got to do this shit every Sunday? Get bent.
Anything happened at the Jewish wedding that you've never experienced?
Well, they admitted about the banks and entertainment industries. Outside of that.
They do the chair thing? They lift them up in the chair?
They did the chairs.
Yeah. Do they do the bride and the groom, or is it just
they
the
both,
groom?
Yeah, they both get hoisted. Okay. Then there's like a multi-ring circle pit that happens.
Okay.
And it was just...
And what do they do? They have like wiffle ball bats? They do like a little duel? They hit each other, or... Anything?
No, they were holding a napkin for a while.
All
right. It was fun. Mm-hmm. I've told you, we both discussed the idea that like, oh yeah, I'm going to dance now.
Yeah. So you danced?
The whole time.
Okay.
I mean, I'm hungover today.
Even during the ceremony.
Yeah. You can't stop me. You put me in dress clothes. I'm going to boogie. Yeah. All right.
It's no music yet, Kyle.
Even at Catholic funeral, you betcha. We'll try and liven that shit up.
Do they have a DJ, live band?
They had a DJ. The guy did a good job.
Must be nice to be able to have music at your own wedding. It must be nice.
You guys need a do-over.
Yeah, I know.
You guys need just a party.
Yeah.
Just a random day of like, hey, remember that wedding? Well, we're just in LA. We rented this bar. Mm-hmm. We're having a party tonight.
Yeah. Did you have trash cans? That must have been a luxury.
I didn't notice. Yeah. Trash cans, yeah, but I think they're probably around there.
I got in a big argument with our fuck face of a wedding.
Have you ever looked back in to see if that still is there?
It's no. Still going? Shout out to Casa de Monte Vista. Did I tell you tried to sue me? He sent me a cease and desist order because I wrote a negative Yelp review.
I will say that listeners should not go. I'm speaking for you here.
It's a great place if you want to bring your own trash cans and not have any music.
This is, I will, can I air my grievance about, like, because I know people are then review bombing it. Mm-hmm. I would like, don't do that on somebody's back. It's like one of the biggest problems. Like, if like I bitch about something online, I just want people to be aware.
Yeah, I don't need you to fight my battle.
I don't want strangers to pile on.
Yeah,
I have. I've likened it to a. It's like when a server's got a tray full of drinks.
And you think
you're helping by taking your own drink off, and you're not. You're actually just fucking up the whole delicate balance of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I know you didn't have a good time with that.
Yeah, that's okay.
God damn, I bought some off eBay. What did I buy? Like headphone covers or something. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, I bought them. Oh, shit, these are the wrong ones. Within 3 minutes, I'm like, oh, I tried to cancel the order. Like, nope, the order already went through. I'm like, bullshit, it did. Mm-hmm. So I just wrote a review of like, well, hey, you better make sure these are the ones you want because you won't be able to cancel even within 5 minutes. I've gotten 3 emails from the seller. Can you please take down the negative review? Can you we'll refund your money. Just please take down. I don't know how to take down the review. Like, now they're just harassing me because I left a negative review.
Yeah.
I'm like, get out of here.
Anyway. Yeah, they sent me a cease and desist order.
For writing a negative review?
Yeah, on Yelp. One review.
Get fucked.
Totally fucking true. Tell me where I'm lying. Tell me what about... I even sent them a copy of the review. Like, tell me where I'm lying. I don't want to go into it all again, but it was a fucking nightmare from A to Z.
Can I change the subject and say how much I like the sticker that you have on your record rack that's supposed to be the Pornhub logo, but it just says Pork Rub?
It's pretty neat.
Which is also fitting with Pornhub.
Yeah. Anyway.
As we're saying,
it's just as erotic.
Positive vibes today, Dave.
That's right. No, I'm good.
We're in Stoneburg Studios.
That's right. We had a nice meal.
We went to Bingo's Bonery.
The misses, the collective misses.
The ladies met.
They met. I can't believe they haven't met yet.
I thought they did. I'm
sure they met
I was
somewhere.
Confused, yeah.
Katie used to drink a lot. It's her memory.
Rachel drinks a lot now. That's why we're both busted today.
Yeah.
I think we just sweat so much. It wasn't like a... Yeah, it wasn't like a physical, I feel sick hangover. It's just like, oh, I'm dumb as shit today.
Yeah.
I'm finally coming into my own right now, and we are at almost 6 p.m. I'm finally feeling like, here you are, Kyle. Probably because we're having a couple more drinks now.
That's right.
It was a fun wedding. Mm-hmm. Had people in town. Like I told you, Dave, I can't get my appendix out twice, so I was able to make it to this one.
That's true.
I want you to have a do-over just because I want to be able to go to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, the crazy thing is, and I told you this, but like...
Let's go rent out Bledsoe's.
That'd be nice. But where we stayed, at Margaritaville, it was during Gay Pride weekend in Palm Springs, and they were popping off. Like, the way the Margaritaville was set up, it was kind of... it was several buildings, but all kind of surrounding the center courtyard.
Like a resort, yeah.
Pool area. Yeah, like a resort. So it had this center pool area that I guess you could rent out. And like some function, they rented it out for Gay Pride. But just loud music, hundreds if not thousands of people. So we're thinking like maybe on the 5th year anniversary, we go back to Margaritaville, rent that whole space, and just blow it out.
During Gay Pride. Piss them off. Sorry, fellas. This one's for us.
Yeah, this was ours. Oh, boy. But yeah, man, I went to Bingo's Bonery. Had a nice pan.
Barney's Beanery for the uninitiated. Mm-hmm. Bingo's Bonery came from me being wasted there one night. Mm-hmm. Like, hell yeah, getting ripped to the tips of Bingo's Bonery. And I think somebody's like, you need to go home. I was like, okay.
I might have been there with you. the one in Burbank. We raised hell at the one in Burbank one time.
Did we?
Yeah. Yeah, we used to go down there a few times.
I'd been to this one. But you know what? It's like, it's one of the few regular kind of bars. Crazy crap on the wall, a couple pool tables, decent food, decent drinks, not too overpriced.
Yeah.
Given the current climate of things. Speaking of climate, it's probably only about 102 degrees outside right now.
It was 103 yesterday.
Fucking. I was in a suit.
Oh.
I was in a suit in 103.
Ugh.
Yeah, Rachel's getting dressed for it. She's like, I'm just sweating. I'm like, everybody's sweating. Oh. Like, everybody we meet at this wedding is just gonna be dripping. It was a good time, man. We had fun. When we talked about last time that we forgot to tell, that we can't tell people about now, or we can because I fucked up the episode.
I sleepwalked in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. You should retell that story. That's weird.
Upon reflection, I'm not sure now if I sleepwalked or if I just blacked out. So here's what happened.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I've ever blacked out. Have you blacked out? I mean, in theory, that's a dumb question.
Well, all right, man. Get that I'm at your house. You can be cool about it. You'd be cool about it if you wanted to be. It's, well, I think a lot of people that drink, well, it's a great excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I have definitely had points of an evening where it's like, oh, and we're done.
Uh-huh.
But it's less of like, and then I did a bunch of crazy shit.
Uh-huh.
It's usually just, like I fell asleep and weird. I have. No, the answer, the short answer is yes. Yes, yeah. I've blacked out. Fortunately, you know, knock on for Micah Wood over here.
We were just talking about this. Speaking of which, because it's relevant because he was in this story. But Ryan Singer, you and Ryan Singer years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Were walking home from the Dwight Yoakam, Steve Earle, Lucinda Williams concert.
Yeah, up at the Greek Theater.
Uh-huh. And Ryan pulled the, he got the hat trick. If I understand his story correctly, he threw up, passed out, and then shit himself in a stranger's courtyard.
Which is wild because we were drinking the same amount, and I walked a mile and a half back to my apartment mm-hmm. that same night.
Were y'all drinking wine?
Yeah.
I feel like he was telling me about it was like a wine drunk.
Yeah.
And it caught him off guard.
Yeah, because it was one of those, like, well, we got to make this, you know, it's outdoor venue, you're going to make a big long trip, like basically like going to a ball game or something. Like, yeah. I make this long trip to walk to get drinks. I'm like, well, we should just get wine.
Yeah.
Let's cut to the chase here.
Mm-hmm.
And I broke off with him in Los Feliz. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to call a car. I'm like, you sure? He's like, yeah, this is what I remember. And I don't remember much. But I'm like, all right, he's a big boy. And then the next day, it's just a text of like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I guess I passed out. I'm like, you were calling a car when I walked away from you.
Yeah, yeah, because he couldn't walk home. He lived in Glendale at the time. That's a hike. That's a five-hour hike.
Yeah, that's a journey.
But yeah, he said he got just some stranger's front yard. He puked. Then he fell down and kind of blacked out or passed out. And then later when he woke up, somebody had shit in his pants. So that's got to be rough.
I'm trying to think if I've ever shit my pants drunk. You ever shit your pants?
No, last time I shit my pants was in second grade. I've said it before, I got a sphincter like a bear trap.
You seem a little too ready for that mm-hmm. answer. You seem like you're scared of the truth.
Yeah. No, but you hear like stories all the time. Like I've got friends who are like, I shit my pants. You know, like that has not happened to me, knock on wood, as an adult.
I've leaked. I haven't full blown. I haven't
spillage.
Like, I haven't put like baggage in the trunk.
Yeah,
but I've had some breaches.
We have a mutual friend. I won't throw him under the bus on the show, but he was talking about one time he was just driving down the interstate at night, and he just pulled over and just shit right on the side of a major interstate. Well, just on the side, just
yeah. I mean, I've been in those situations.
At least try to find a wood line or a ditch or something. Sometimes
you know when it's go time with your body.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I'm in Philadelphia. now, granted, I had a couple of drinks, but I didn't get hammered. I didn't get shit faced. Talking about the last little run I did a few weeks
ago. Because it was like, I had like a couple of drinks. No. And it was like, I had a couple of drinks. Like, I've said it both ways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Letting the listener or the receiving end of the conversation determine what I meant by the intonation.
Yeah. No, but I seriously only had like two or three because it was this run I just got done with Ryan Singer. We had a good mm-hmm. time. West Virginia, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Buffalo. Thanks for everybody who came out, by the way. All the shows were fun. I had an absolute blast, and every time I go out on the – see, I don't – you're going out every weekend, basically. Yeah. I'm in the pay scale where I got to string a bunch of dates together. I can't afford to fly to Cincinnati for feature pay. but my point is, every time I stay home for like a month or two, and then when I go out, I'm so horned up for comedy, for stand-up.
Yeah, right, comedy's now. Cool, man.
I'm having so much fun on stage. But anyway, so I only partied on off nights. Mm. We were out for like 10 days. We had two off nights. I've been trying in the last few years to kind of treat it like work. Like as much as I like to party and have some drinks, I try not to drink on tour unless it's an off night.
That's Yeah.
And it's hard sometimes, you know, but I just.
But we're both at an age where, like, this is our career.
Yeah.
And you got to treat it as such.
Exactly.
You can enjoy yourself, but you got to treat it with some reverence.
So we got into Philly a night early. We didn't have the, we were in Philadelphia for two nights. Off the first night, had the show the second night. So on the first night, we got, what were we drinking? Bourbon, I think. And we each just had a couple of drinks. Nothing crazy. Just hanging out, low key, watching baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 5 o'clock in the morning, next thing I know, I'm just in the hallway. I don't remember getting up out of bed. I don't remember exiting the hotel room. I just was in the hallway. And I thought I was dreaming because I was familiar with the hallway because when we were checking in, it was a nicer hotel, and it had like a real cool like peppermint swirl carpet.
Yeah. Do you remember going to bed? Do you remember getting back to the hotel?
Yeah.
Like all that was a coherent.
Oh, all that. Yeah. No, we drank in the room. So we got to Philadelphia at like 9 p.m. We'd driven all day from, where were we? Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, so that's all.
Yeah, we drove like 9 hours, 9-10 hours from Cincinnati to Philadelphia. So we checked in at like 9 p.m. We were off that night. So we immediately checked in, went and got some food, came back. I think we had a bottle of bourbon. Ryan's also a baseball guy, so we're both watching two different baseball games. I had the Braves on my computer. He had the Reds on his computer. So it was just a nice off day. We'd driven all day, just relaxed, and we had some Indian food, had a couple of drinks. And I remember like, going to bed. All right, turn it in. I was like, you want me to leave this TV on? No, turn it off. All right.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm just in the hallway in my underwear. And I think I'm dreaming because for whatever reason, I knew I was in the hallway because I remember making note when we're checking in, like, this is a weird hallway with the peppermint swirl pattern carpet. And I'm just walking down the hallway and I'm just checking doors. That's the other thing. I mean, granted, you got to have a key card nowadays, but what if I just wandered into some lady's room?
And anybody in their right mind, here's a big dude in his underpants trying to get in my room.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody more less judgment, more fearful with a firearm.
Yes, absolutely. And that's never happened to me. I don't think I've ever blacked out. I sleepwalked a little bit when I was a teenager. I'll retell this quick story. When I was like 13, I guess I was sleepwalking, and in the middle of the night, my dad caught me trying to leave the house at like 1 in the morning. He goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "I gotta go to Walmart." I don't remember that in the moment. The next day, he told me about it. But this, when I told you the story last week, I said I was sleepwalking, but if I was truly sleepwalking, would I have remembered any of it? Because I do remember.
But you woke up in the middle of it. You like oh, shit, I'm in the hallway.
Yeah.
I got to get back to my room.
So, yeah, maybe I slept, walked in. Yeah. But, yeah, I just remember being in the hallway.
And you ain't taking any Unisoms or anything to go to sleep?
No. And the first few seconds that I remember, that could have been minutes, it could have been 1 second, who knows. But I do remember thinking, okay, this is a dream. It just felt like, okay, you're dreaming. No big deal, but I'm walking. I was like, why am I dreaming about the hotel that I'm currently in? And then it just kind of hit me of like, wait a minute, what's happening? And I had to pee so bad.
Yeah.
I had to pee so bad that also I was thinking, not only am I in the hallway and I'm locked out, but I was like, if I'm about 30 seconds from just peeing on myself.
I wonder if that can override like – your body being like, wake up, you got to go pee.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also so tired, you're not going to wake up. So the physical operations are like, well, just get him up.
Yeah.
We're not pissing the bed. Get him going. He'll wake up when he figures out what's going on. Like, I wonder if your systems can operate independently of one another in that way.
I don't know. But yeah, it was such a weird experience of like, I guess when I woke up, just like, okay, I'm in the hallway and I'm in my underwear. I don't have my key.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I remembered that we were at the end, kind of on a corner, at the end of the hall. I was like, okay, that's got to be my room. But I do remember. Like,
were you guys splitting a room?
Yeah, we're sharing a room, Ryan and I. And fortunately, I knocked on the door, and then he answered the door. Mm-hmm. He goes, "What are you doing?" And I just went, "I don't know." I just remember specifically saying, like, "No idea." I don't know. He's like, "Where have you been?" I was like, "I was in the hall for some reason."
What is he? Because he's already deep into that It's Ryan Singer, you know. Yeah. He's shapeshifted before. Like, what did he? What was his reasoning? Did he have any theories?
His girlfriend shapeshifted. Oh, yeah. Just for context, and he's told this story on his podcast.
Yeah, so she turned into his ex-girlfriend.
She.
No. I'm sorry, Ryan. I love you, buddy.
No, long story short, he's told this story on his podcast, Me and Paranormal You, by the way. Check it out. Mm. Long story short, he's with his girlfriend like 10 years ago.
Oh, he said it on this. He said it on our show,
on this show, yeah.
So you can go back and
they're hanging out, partying, and then at some point in the evening, she becomes 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, she's no longer pregnant. So, and I love Ryan. He's one of my dearest friends. I've lived with him. I've toured with him. And I told this to his face. It's like, I want to believe you, but that's crazy. I know you're not insane, and I don't think you're lying to me. So what the fuck is going on?
Did he have anything wild to say about you sleepwalking? Any theories or just ideas?
No, not really.
Yeah.
He's just like, all right, buddy, come on in.
Yeah, if Singer's looking at you weird.
Yeah. It's true.
I haven't slept walked in a while. I blacked out. Rachel's told, but it's been from drinking. It's been from like, yep, I don't remember the rest of that night. And she's just, you were saying some wild shit. Mm-hmm. You're being some, like, just like, as long as it wasn't an asshole or like.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're being fine, but you're just being drunk and drunk where you don't remember.
Yeah.
I've been drunk. Like, we went to this bar and saw so-and-so. I'm like, oh, I remember that. I don't know what we talked about.
Yeah.
It's the, we went where?
Yeah.
That kind of drunk.
See, I don't think I've ever been that drunk. I mean, you've seen me incredibly drunk, but I've never been so drunk where I don't remember how I got here. Or I don't remember that at all from last night.
Oh, yeah.
I just get drunk at the old 97s concert and Irish Goodbye and go to Denny's and eat bad country fried steak.
So. Yeah, but you remembered you had country fried steak.
Yeah.
Irish Goodbying is totally fine. As long as nobody's worried about you, I think that's a healthy way to leave.
Yeah.
There's an anxiety at how to get out of somewhere. Uh-huh. And your well-being takes priority over a politeness of saying goodbye. So
that's true.
Normalize Irish Goodbying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say that to the listeners right now.
So what else been going on, buddy? So you drove down?
Drove down. I was trying to think of anything spooky happened.
You take
much.
The van?
No, we took the Mini Cooper.
Okay.
Small vehicle.
Nice.
It's like being on a single engine airplane.
Yeah.
Really right up next to each other. Every time I'm like, I just try to point. I point too much, I guess. Mm-hmm. I've never been made aware of it unless we're in a Mini Cooper. I'm like, oh, look at that. And Rachel's like, get your hand on my fucking face. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. We're 3/4 of an inch away from each other for 14 hours on this drive.
Yeah, that's a haul.
Man. Yeah, but it was. We took our time getting down. Nothing wild.
Mm-hmm. You see any fires?
No, we met. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's a not spooky paranormal, spooky in that I'm upset with my own judgment.
Okay.
So Lake Castaic, there was a fire. Mm-hmm. And that's just right north of L.A.
Yeah.
Grapevine area. And so it detoured, it was closed, the highway was closed, and there was like one lane open, but the detour had us going through like Lake Hughes or these mountain roads.
Okay.
And so we're all stacked up on this like 40-mile-an-hour mountain road at night. It's middle of night, but everybody's stacked behind a truck that's doing like under 20.
Ugh. On a long haul, that's the worst.
And it's double yellows except for the occasional dotted passing lane, which does not last long. Mm-hmm. You know, and everybody's getting frustrated. And the truck's going over the double yellow line, like keeping it blocked. And even before I did this, I was like, maybe that's because the truck can see what's coming up.
Okay.
And can see cars coming. And he knows everybody's impatient behind him. And he's making it hard to pass so people don't do dumb shit. Hmm. Well, me and a few other cars decided to do some dumb shit.
Yeah.
And she's got a Mini, it's a sport Mini Cooper. And I'm not proud of this anyway. Like, you can call me a fucking asshole to my face, and I know it. Mm-hmm. I know it. Like, I'm upset with myself now.
Okay.
And it was two cars, and it was like fucking Beamers or whatever. And then it's like cars are like, yeah, boom, boom, they go. And it's pitch black, meaning if you don't see headlights.
Yeah, you should be good.
Or you are on a hill.
Yeah.
Two cars in front go, and I'm the third one. We all go. It felt like inches that I missed an oncoming car and slotted in front of this semi-truck.
Really inches? Point where that close?
It felt like it. But it was that, it was like the two cars in front of me, like, we all know we're doing something stupid, so they get around, back in the lane. Get around, back in the lane. I'm the last one to be like, fuck! I get in the lane. It was one of those things where, like, Rachel and I were just quiet. She didn't even yell.
Yeah.
She didn't even get mad. And we just drove for a minute. And I just had to, like, I'm so sorry for what I just did. Wow. That was one of the dumbest things in a fucking 45-year-long career of doing dumb things.
Wow.
That's one of the dumbest. Like, that was one of the closest. You know, you do stuff in a car and you, whoa, that was kind of risky. That was like, no, this is how you die. Like I saw obituaries.
Really?
For us.
Are you serious? Like, did you really, did time slow down?
No, I mean, after the fact of like processing it.
Uh-huh.
And processing how, like, I really thought about how someone dies in a car wreck. Seen cars flipped over. And I really processed of like, oh, this is how, this is how that happens. And I'm like, I'm ashamed of myself. Like, I'm legit, I'm embarrassed and ashamed of myself. And Rachel just wasn't saying anything. And I was like, maybe she's cool with it. And she's like, I was just in shock that you did that. And wow. I didn't have anything to say afterwards. We just pulled over and looked at the stars for a little while.
And, that's the closest call you've ever had in a car?
Of it being absolutely 100% my fault?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or just, like, I was 2 seconds away from death.
I've had people where I've been driving and somebody's tried to pass somebody, and I'm like, that's the dumbest motherfucker I've ever seen in my life. And now I was that guy. And it was just the idea, just like the impatience of driving for, at that point, you know, we're on hour 12 of a 14-hour drive. I mean, we spent the night in Ashland, Southern Oregon, because we left late Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So this was Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
It's driving all day. And I hadn't been, Rachel was driving. Rachel gets car sick, so she likes to drive. And I'm like, you've been driving enough, let me drive. So the fact that I was like, let me drive. And I just thought about all those factors, all those stupid little circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I feel bad telling the story now. Yeah, it was stupid. Anyway, that was the drive down.
Man, I have almost PTSD from, I've worked so many
as a cop, seeing the stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Just.
And just like the dumbest, there was no rush.
Yeah.
There was zero importance. It was just stuck behind a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
That's when I have two levels of road rage. Mm-hmm. I have my basic level of just, you're a putz and you're wasting my time.
Yeah, use a signal.
Get the fuck off the road. But then when people are doing shit, and I really don't lose it unless Katie's with me or someone else is with me.
Yeah.
But when people are doing unsafe shit, like, motherfucker, I've pulled dead bodies out of fucking cars who got there from doing something less dumb than what you're fucking doing right now, asshole.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I lose my shit. When, like, you're putting my wife's life in jeopardy because you're a shitty fucking driver.
Yeah, like, and not even just me, Rachel, whoever's in the other car.
Yeah.
Like, I'm ashamed of myself.
I mean, it happens, buddy.
Like, I made a career off of being ashamed of myself, but because stuff's funny. I was doing therapy today. The therapist was like, you realize how a lot of your stories are about how you're like, you're down on yourself and you think you're stupid. I'm like, yeah, I make a living.
I got 6 hours worth of material of that.
I make a career off of this.
Yeah.
But it's also funny. Like, that part didn't come up. I wonder if the part about almost dying didn't come up. But I'm like, well, I kind of spun out because I was, like, trying to pack. And I was, like, didn't know what to pack. And I was kind of stressed out over packing for a month. I'm like, oh, yeah. And the part where I almost killed Rachel and I, that didn't come up in therapy.
Oh,
Fuck, God. Man. Yeah, I'm ashamed of myself, dude.
Let me ask you this. I know, not to bring up old wounds, but I know you've had one DUI.
Mm-hmm.
How many times would you think you have driven where you were legit dangerous? I've driven a lot where I'm over a 0.08 had I gotten stopped, but I still justified it. We're like, I know I can get home safely. But have you ever driven somewhere and gotten there and be like, whoa, what was I doing? Like, I was not only was I obviously DUI, but I was very, I could have hurt someone.
Incapacitated. Yeah. I never felt like, well, you know what? We're going over these things, and yeah, there's personal errors, and we're, I'm not celebrating any of these things. But like, I wrecked one car,
The Ford Focus.
Yeah, the old Focus.
I'm a big girl now.
Yeah, the irony of falling asleep behind the wheel of a Ford Focus. That one was weird too, because I was drinking, but then I was on pills too.
You ran into a wall or something.
I was partying in Hollywood at like. Kind of like where, not far from here, like where Old Meltdown was.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a house behind there where a bunch of comics lived at.
Okay.
And I was like, somebody had like Ritalin or something I was taking too, like we were snorting that. But so the thing about like Ritalin or Adderall, at least for me, is like you could just keep drinking.
Mm-hmm.
The drinks don't mean anything. You feel fine. You feel like you're good. It feels like fucking Coke. You're like, man, drinks aren't doing anything to me. Yeah. I am on top of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then once the pills wear off, all the drinks that you've had are just like, hey, remember us?
Oh, they're locked and loaded. They've been waiting.
So I felt fine. I was living in Burbank. I took Laurel Canyon home.
Oof.
I took a mountain road.
That's a tricky drive. That's a tricky drive when you're sober.
Sober in the daylight. Mm-hmm. So 4 a.m. Fine.
Going back to the valley.
Over the hill. Mm-hmm. As soon as I get over the hill, pills were off. I just went to sleep.
Oh, no.
But not, it's one of those, it was like less falling asleep and more like just a long blink.
Huh.
Like, you know when you've done that like real scary.
Yeah. I've done that a lot, not drinking, just too much driving on the road.
Oh, that billboard that was in front of me is behind me.
Yeah.
That's too long.
Mm-hmm.
And had one of those, and it was, I was going under a bridge. It was like Riverside or something goes under the 134 or wherever.
Yeah.
And so there's a pylon in the middle to hold up the bridge, and then there's the median.
Yeah.
And that's a raised curb, and I hit that.
Oh.
So I just did, like, Pac-Man the driver's side wheel on that curb and just knocked all the rack and pinion and shit out.
Oh, man.
But what if that was a stoplight?
Yeah.
What if that was anything else?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a pretty embarrassing conversation to have right now. I've fucked up a lot. And, yeah, I didn't even say in the bit about the DUI, like, thank God I've never hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I a lot of risky behavior back when.
That's a good tip that I'm always, for lack of a better term, mansplaining to Katie. Not mansplaining, but just trying to pass on a little bit of wisdom. And she's a good driver, but she's got a habit that a lot of people do. I got a green light, I'm fine. I've seen
not in LA.
Not in LA. I was like, even though you have the green light, you still have to approach it and keep your head on a swivel, look both ways, just assume that you're surrounded by idiots. I've worked too many.
I don't think you have to assume in Los Angeles.
But she'll just mow through a major intersection. And I'm like, eh. She's like, what? I had the green light. I'm like, well, nobody cares about who had the right of way when there's a T-bone collision.
Yeah.
Like, you got to
tell the ER.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one tip everybody should exercise. Just when you're approaching a major intersection, still take it easy, head on a swivel, make sure that no one's coming because people fucking. There was a case 3 weeks ago. Lady right here in LA.
This stuff's all scarier for a different reason, Boogie Monster Finance.
This lady there's video of it too, and it's insane because you see the normal flow of traffic, mm-hmm. and then it literally looks like a rocket. Like she had to be going 100, just mows through a red light, major intersection, a little bit south of here, killed six people. Like
six people
just going on a green light, minding their business. Boom.
And it's even, I mean, who knows if it's like criminal activity or if it's mm-hmm. just like, oh, somebody had a heart attack, somebody passed out, somebody, you know, had a medical issue.
Yeah. That's why I know this makes me sound like a cranky old man, but there's nothing I hate worse than seeing a pedestrian crossing a major intersection. Yes, they have the walk sign, they have the right of way, but just shuffling mm-hmm. along, staring at their phone in a major intersection. Like, it just takes one dude with a heart attack behind a truck. Or anything, like...
anybody else on their phone the same way you are.
Yeah. I know you have the right-of-way, but that still,
look around.
That blew
my mind moving to L.A. and just finding out pedestrian right-of-way.
Yeah.
Oh, if somebody wants to cross the street, no matter when or where, you have to stop for them. Like, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life.
That's insane.
Just allowing that. Just to allow, like, man, just go.
Yeah.
And how people get tickets, because, like, my buddy was on... He had a motorcycle... And it was a trap. They would wait, like, okay, mm-hmm. tell them, now walk.
Yeah.
And see if they'll stop. He's like, fuck you. I'm going to lay down my motorcycle for your fucking pedestrian ticket trap? Get fucked.
Same way. Yeah. I don't know how the laws are here, but back when I was a cop, this happened all the time. But let's say you're driving your car in the middle of the road.
Taking a lift home.
If you're driving and I'm behind you in my car, we could be going 60 miles an hour, and if you just decide to slam on your brakes for no reason and I hit you, I'm at fault. Because the way the law in Georgia was written, that you have to travel at such a distance that you can stop or react to anything in front of you.
That's most anybody.
And that's such bullshit.
That's most everywhere because you're supposed to be in control of your vehicle. Now, here's where I have the problem. Is like, all right, I'm supposed to leave a safe distance between me and the car in front of me. If I do that and then somebody decides to wedge themselves in and slam on the brakes,
fuck.
And I still hit them, I'm still at fault. It's like, anyway.
I got in trouble as a cop for turning left. I got in a wreck one time. I was turning left into a trailer park going on a call, and I turned left in front of a car at 10 o'clock at night that had no lights. And I got suspended 2 days without pay because technically I failed to yield. And I said, how the fuck am I supposed to yield to a car I cannot see?
You didn't see. Can't they tell that too? Like if a car gets in a wreck and the lights aren't on, they can go. Even if the driver like turns the switch on afterwards, they can prove.
I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I remember
I ain't no forensics expert.
I was at fault because I turned left in front of a car that had no fucking headlights. That's when I get upset and road rage. It's like, hey, asshole, like, when I see people driving around with no headlights, like, how unaware are you? How unaware? You're behind a fucking two-ton death machine.
Oregon's got some wild cards, and there's some guy with no headlights on, like, a bunch of guys, like, clearly living in his car or whatever. I'm like, up next to him, like, your lights aren't on. And he was like, I know. I'm like, all right, man. There's nothing I can do for you.
It's like in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You're going the wrong way.
Does he know which way we're going?
How the hell does he know where we're going?
Enough old man talk, Dave. What do we got? We got any spooky scaries?
Well, we're at an hour.
Are we?
Yeah.
Let's go on. Do you want to just roll through to part two?
I mean, we could.
Boy, hey, if you've been titillated by two middle-aged men discussing the rules of the road, wait till you hear part two. Where we get into expiration dates on 2-for-1 coupons at the grocery store. We take a drink break and come back to this.
Yeah, we could. We could. All right. I tell you what. I'll give a recipe.
Close it out strong. I feel like I brought the mood down with my irresponsibility. I brought my mood down. I fucking feel like a piece of shit.
You're doing fine, buddy. Let me tell you this real quick. This is a working title. I need a better name for this, but I've been experimenting with brain recipes, and that's not a great title. What I mean is
soap paste. I mean, that's where I went with it. I mean,
soap paste.
That's when people eat them.
Dos soap paste.
Two brains, please.
We're in my... I don't have a name for this room. Record lounge, record room, Stoneberg Studios.
Dave's Cave.
It's right there. It's right there, Dave's Cave. One of the things I love to do in this room, Kyle. Uh-oh. Oh, I wouldn't sit there. No. I like to get
high. You ever listen to porn on vinyl?
I like to get high as shit.
You're doing it right now.
I put a nature doc on mute, and I put a record on the turntable. And I stumbled upon...
As I'm sitting in here right now, can I give them the lay of the land?
Sure.
I am in a very comfortable chair. Mm-hmm. Not a lazy boy, more of a mid-century modern kind of thing. You have an ottoman. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at three record cases. Mm-hmm. To my left is Dave's late-night desk. Mm-hmm. Late night with Dave.
Yeah, it's my Conan desk.
Yeah, he's got the desk and the chair and the mic set up.
Yeah.
To my right is the record, the stereophonic.
Mm-hmm.
With a lovely display up on the wall of posters and album art. And to my front is a wall-mounted TV. Mm-hmm. Perfect angle, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
As far as putting the feet up.
Uh-huh.
And with a selection of all kinds of vinyl and a nature doc.
Yeah.
This is a great setting for
me. Yeah, it's a good time.
Please continue. I didn't mean to interrupt, but people know.
Oh, that's
very
fine.
Comfortable vibe for what you're describing.
I appreciate it. Oh, yeah. You see my Misfits needlepoint?
I did see that.
That's pretty cool. Shout out to Stitch Before Dishonor. It's not needlepoint. It's cross stitch. I get the two confused.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Stitch Before Dishonor, my buddy Andrew Michael. He's a comic in Atlanta, and he likes to cross stitch.
Stitches before snitches.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the other day, I was like, let's time to get high and watch a nature doc, put on a record. And I just... by chance, stumbled upon a great combination. All right. Okay. I don't know how many potheads we got, but out here, you know, it's wonderful. You go to the dispensaries. It's like going to 31 Flavors for weed. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm really into this these big fat pre-rolls called El Blunto. And specifically, El Blunto's the make, the model is Lemon Pepino. I don't know what Limon Pepino. Made by El Blunto.
Sounds like a superhero is like late to stop any crime.
El Blunto's here. Sorry, guys.
We blew the smoke up in the air. We blew your signal up.
What is it? I think maybe HBO Max right now. They've got it's. It came out in 2020, but I'm just now noticing it. It's a great nature doc. It's a series. I think they got about 6 or 8 episodes.
Yeah.
In each episode. Oh, you know what? It's 7 because the fucking title is right here. 7 Worlds, 1 Planet. 7 Worlds, okay. 1 Planet. So they got 7 episodes, one for each continent. Well, I queued up the one about Asia. And man, they got some fucking monkeys in Asia that you ain't ever seen. Crazy monkeys. I thought I'd seen all the monkeys.
They got most of them over there.
Crazy monkeys. Blue faces. Just crazy little fuckers. So anyway, I think it's season 1, episode 2. It's about
Asia.
Get
you a bowl of paprika. Get you a few of these crazy monkeys.
But put on 7 Worlds, 1 Planet, episode 2 about Asia. I fired up the El Blunto, Lemon Pepino, and I put on, right now I'm really into, I go through phases with my music.
Sure.
Right now I'm in hip hop phase. I know that sounds weird. You know, I'm not traditionally a big hip hop guy.
Stay unpredictable, dude.
Yeah, exactly. But right now I'm into this group called Czarface. And I think it's...
Dave, right now you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt, crisp Nikes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Low-rise socks. This is not the Dave I ever thought I was going to see.
Daiquiri Dave.
Yeah.
I'm wearing no-show socks. No-show socks,
low-top. Like, Daiquiri Dave, like, you're really coming into a new era with hip-hop.
I'm fresh.
You're fresh? You're listening to hip-hop?
Hell yeah, man.
I'm about it.
I'll fucking play a little Czarface on the way out. But yeah, my point is, where'd my phone go? Where's my bourbon? play a little fucking Czarface. But yeah, I got stoned as shit.
Yeah.
Put on the fucking 7 Worlds, 1 Planet and put on a little Czarface. And oh boy. Did I have a time? So, and I'm not saying like you gotta start it here and then start the music there. I'm not saying it syncs up perfectly like Pink Floyd and Wizard of Oz and all that shit, but.
Just moods. The moods are getting along with
one another. It was a good time. There we go. Here's a little Czarface. There we go. You feel that? I'm a sucker for the groove. I'm all about the groove.
There's the speed of hip hop. There's like the era.
Yeah, so this and Crazy Monkeys fighting each other and screaming at each other and Mute with a fucking El Blunto.
What time of night are you in here doing this?
This is about 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, boy.
Are you laughing? Are you fascinated?
I'm fascinated.
Okay, all right.
And sometimes it does sync up.
Yeah. You know?
And sometimes I'll do the same thing, but like with metal, I'll put on like progressive metal, like a Mastodon or something. Yeah. And then like right when the monkeys are yelling at each other, then there's a crazy scream vocal and it lines up. You're like, wow, that wasn't on accident. But yeah, it's a good time.
Have you put on anything that just doesn't match at all?
Fucking redheaded stranger, Willie Nelson.
Yeah, you put that on like Saving Private Ryan. Like, oh man, this is way off, man. This is totally fucking up my whole mood.
But yeah, there's your brain recipe. So, Seven Worlds, One Planet.
The ska music doesn't match up with this Ken Burns documentary about the Dust Bowl.
And if you do try it, if you notice, right at 1545, at the 1545 mark,
now you're getting ridiculous.
There's like a blurry image. They're about to transition into some of these crazy monkeys, but they got this shot of this monkey walking down a hill, but they got it blurred out, and you're like, oh, fuck, it looks like Bigfoot. And then you realize it's a small, it's a little monkey. But at first, because it's blurry,
they
and
got
the,
you.
The El Blunto, you're like, there's a fucking, and there's a crazy monkey fight at 19, at the 19 minute mark. Check out that monkey fight. Oh, let's reset. We'll come back with part two of this tremendous journey that on. Thank you guys. This has been the Boogie Monster. Oh, by the way, I need to go ahead and say this. We're going to take a. We're going to take next week off, and then we'll have part two the week after.
Yeah, so, I hope the suspense.
We're going to make you wait 2 weeks for this
bullshit. We got a lot. It's a heavy travel. It's a heavy travel month, everybody.
Very heavy travel month. So this is dropping on September 6th. We're going to take the, whatever, the 13th off, and we'll see you on
unless
the
20th. Unless we really get to talking out our ass the rest of the day.
That's
here,
true. Get there's no telling what
too
we
many
might,
episodes.
No telling what we might get into. So let's leave us on a little bit more. There we go. All right, it's the Boogie Monster. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
The Boogie Monster.
Network.